Good evening. Welcome to Release Your Wings. As one of the Psalms tells us, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Tonight we're going to talk about feeling safe in a turbulent world. I'm Dan Bagley, and I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha tonight. So, Shireen, how do we feel safe or safer in this world surrounding us?
I want to share a story. And this is a real story that actually the founder of our university, the Brahma Kumaris, he went through this. And he actually passed on before I was born. But I really feel close to him, and this story actually helped me feel much closer to him. Apparently there was a time when a lot of people were against him. And so someone hired an assassin to come and assassinate Brahma Baba. And so there was a courtyard, and he was in the courtyard, and the assassin came. And so Brahma Baba just felt this need to just go into deep meditation at that particular moment. And when he went into deep meditation, a lot of people in the compound, in the Brahma Kumaris at that time, there were a few people there, they came and surrounded him. And so when the assassin saw him alone and then saw all of these people surrounding him, he looked at that and he went away. And then he came back a day later or something and told him that actually I came yesterday to assassinate you and I saw all of these people. And then I remember one of the dadis who was there at that point when they were surrounding him, that they felt also to be pulled to surround him. Even in their meditation, they just felt we have to go surround him. And he, we give Toli the sweet, and he gave everyone that, and he just said one sentence. He said, there's only protection in virtue. Our only protection is virtue.
Very nice. So what I'm hearing is that if we're virtuous enough, then we're totally protected.
The right things will come to us at the right time.
Does that mean when bad things happen to us, we're not virtuous enough?
Possibly. I don't want to pass judgment on people. But also that even when bad things happen to us, they're not as bad as we anticipate them to be.
So sometimes when it's raining on our parade, maybe the rain is necessary in other contexts. It isn't as personal as it feels on that.
Right.
Well, one of the questions I had, but you answered it in the rather extreme example of the original head of the BKs, is do we separate out, for our feeling safe in a turbulent world, do we separate out real danger, like for example if someone's breaking into our home, versus worry about, am I going to lose my job? Am I going to be able to sustain myself, etc.? Do you have those separated, or is it in one?
Yeah, you could say like external dangers,
right,
and then internal dangers. Like worry, I think, is an internal danger. I mean, I think we anticipate things much worse than they happen, or actually our ability to withstand hardship is a lot more than we give ourselves credit for.
So in a Job context, everything I feared has come upon me. I often think of that in terms of perhaps worry being like negative prayer. If I worry about something, I can almost bring it about. I worry about forgetting my lines in a play. I mean, that will probably increase my chances of that. On the other hand, another thing is, if I never am concerned, then I may not prepare enough.
Right. It is a fine line. But I feel that more than if I worry too much, do I bring it on myself?
Mm-hmm.
That I feel if I worry too much, like I'm not letting myself progress.
So I'm staying in my story rather than expanding my capacity for who I could be.
Yes. And I was especially thinking about, when we're thinking about safety, I was especially thinking that there are a few things that I they're tenets that I live by. Mm-hmm. And one of the tenets is about this kitten. And actually, the story was told to me when I was very new in the BKs, and that there was a fire and there was a set of kittens, maybe four or five kittens, and the house was on fire. And after they made sure the fire was extinguished and everything, and they were looking for the kittens because they were mewing, and they found the kittens in the fireplace. Mm-hmm. And so even in that fire, and they were safe in an unlikely place as a fireplace. And so for me, the reason why I felt the kittens were safe is because of their innocence.
Uh-huh.
Is because of their cleanliness, their purity. You know, they're so sweet and innocent. And so that if I want to be safe, mm-hmm. then I really need to protect my cleanliness. Mm-hmm. That if I'm clean, and worry doesn't let me be clean.
Ah, I see. So if you live a life that has you have a clear conscience, many of the things that others, like someone will cheat me, if you don't have cheating in your heart, you may not feel it, the fear of it as much. Is that part
yeah,
of it?
Or what I'm saying is, if someone does cheat me, it's mm-hmm. not as bad as we're expecting it to be.
Uh-huh.
We have the capacity, the resilience to withstand someone cheating me.
Yeah.
And that there's no need to worry about it in advance. Whenever it happens, I have the capacity to deal with it. So I'm really wasting my time now actually worrying about it.
Right. So keeping a clear mind, a clear spirit, a clear heart, it sounds to me, is keeping your priorities of what really is important on the table, as opposed to getting attached to those things which come and go.
Right.
Like someone may take my money or my stereo may disappear. Not that I want my stereo to disappear, but those things are not as important as the core happiness of values and things like
right,
that.
Right, right. You know, there is a saying in the Gita, and that our mind is our own best friend and our own worst enemy.
Yeah.
And so we can really be our own worst enemy when we start worrying like that.
Yeah.
And the result is not the worry is not about, or we are not losing by, we are bringing it like I'm losing my stereo. So losing the stereo is not the problem. I've actually lost my mind long before I've lost my stereo.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So
I like that. Well, you know, just this week, I was talking to a financial planner, and he was talking about this. He said, in my world, we haven't been in a recession. We've been in a depression. And he clearly had lost a lot materially. And he said, and what I've gotten from this is, I realized that I'm a better person. I'm a better father, specifically. That I realized how attached I was to things that really didn't matter.
Exactly.
And now I feel, and I said, sounds to me like you're telling me, and this is a guy who's handling family investments, and I said, sounds to me like you really found a blessing in your setback. And he
right.
said, my values have absolutely changed in these hard, turbulent times. I added turbulent here for this thing, but it was these hard times. And I thought, yeah, and I think that's what you're saying. If we keep our hearts open, then there's a benefit even in things that we would have viewed from an ego or an attachment standpoint. Is if I lose my stereo, metaphorically, I lose my identity. If I lose my iPod, I lose my whole soundtrack. Oh my gosh. So within that then, how do we keep the focus within the turbulent times? How do we get to that purity, that innocence?
You know, one of the things that I was thinking is about the kittens.
Mm-hmm.
Is to remain safe as the kittens is that we have to have some level of surrender.
Uh-huh.
And because the kittens really are not thinking for themselves, planning for themselves.
Right.
There was a surrender. And I feel that surrender to the right right person, being, and in this case,
right.
I would say God. And so that there has to be this surrender to God. And also the other aspect is I have to use everything I have right now in a worthwhile way, not waste my time, not waste my other resources. And so I will be safe because I will be able to keep my peace, my silence, and that peace and that silence will attract the right things.
So what I'm hearing you, now I know that some people may hear surrender as just giving up, but that's not really the context of what you're talking here, because you followed up by saying, you know, the right things, I will do the right things, I'll take the right actions.
Right.
But I'm listening to the higher message, not the lower message. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Right. You know, and also there's one thing that I feel is that as kittens, they're children.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel we are all children of God. And so when I mean surrender is like a child, it's not that I absolve responsibility from myself. That could be the other extreme of surrender. Oh, I'm surrendered and so I'm not going to take responsibility for anything. Or this extreme could be, what am I surrendering? Who am I surrendering to? And so it could go both ways. But what I'm saying is not either of those, but the path of really understanding that I belong to someone and that there's safety in that silence, in that peace.
It's interesting you would say that, because Dr. Larry Dossey, who's written a number of academic books and done some studies on the power of prayer, says that the prayer, "Thy will be done," apparently statistically shows better healing than, you know, God just change this one thing, or make this happen, or make that person get better, that there is a surrender to say, you know what I want, thy will be done, and I'll go with this. So, you know, across, well, we've got the BKs, and we've got pretty much Western approach to things, and to some degree, Dr. Larry Dossey's medical doctor, research is supporting that as well.
Right. And the other thing is, I want to touch upon this whole aspect of safety in numbers. And so we could ask ourselves this question, what numbers?
Yeah.
Right. Which, what, where? I feel, yes, there is safety in numbers, but we have to be really specific about what kind of numbers, and that if I keep good company, that is the safest I can be.
Okay, so there are a couple of things. Of course, my smart aleck self thinks, are you saying 10,000 lemmings can't be wrong? And that is not what you're saying. If you have the right people, you have enough, large enough number of people that are supportive.
Yeah, to really belong to a faith community, to really understand that your mind could be playing tricks on you sometimes. And so to trust someone and get their opinion on something. And so all of these things I feel are important, and to have a community.
Right.
And the right community. And
so do you have a magic number of this rightness? Does it take... Well,
No. I meant the right community is that they are thinking in the right
way,
and the right people, not the number.
Yeah, because I feel like my relationship with my wife is, I get great counsel. I don't listen as well sometimes, but it is, I know absolutely that our relationship is, you know, just as I'm totally on her side, she's totally on my side, and watching out for my grander interest rather than the petty interest attached to the stereo or the iPod or something like that. So where do we go with this in looking for that supportive, nourishing community? I know the BKs are your choice, and the research is pretty clear that people who are members of churches and, you know, active in their churches tend to live longer. Is it an intuitive thing to say, you know, where does God take me? Where is my spiritual self going? Or how do we know that?
It could be. I think you have to knock on a few doors, and then you'll know.
Yeah.
You know, everyone we find are, I feel there are people already there in place. I just have to go find my people.
Right. So part of our search then is not having a predetermined, it must look like this, but maybe to reach out and find who we resonate with.
Exactly, and we know who we resonate with.
Yeah.
And also this whole thing about, I shouldn't have a preconceived notion about how safe is going to look like. Just like that gentleman is perfectly all right.
He's safer now than he was before. Yeah.
And so we will be safe. It's an adventure. You know, I can't say that we're not going to have turbulent times. We are going to have turbulent times.
Right.
But I know as as a humanity, as a community, that it's going to be an adventure that we can all win.
Yeah. So even in tough times, even when we suffer as we have as many individuals and as a society, some loss of some things we had a few years ago, there is a faith component that says, not fearing but faithing, that says, yeah, I can end up better than I was because I'm a better person having survived it.
Right.
That's nice. Thank you, Shireen.
Thank you, Dan.
And thank you for joining us tonight. I hope you feel a little safer. Good night.